This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. Mask of Guilt, Mask of Illumination, Book 1 is out. We all wear masks, some of us to hide our guilt. Lady Funari, lost in the malaise of depression, finds purpose with a group of all-women thieves, the Crack Gems. Intrigue, romance, betrayal, and adventure swirls around her in this epic fantasy tale. Today, I'm joined by Ron L. Lahr. He is the author of the epic fantasy novel Children of Cathaldi, The Cathaldi Chronicles, Book 1. How are you doing today, Ron?
Quite well, thank you. Keeping busy, that's for sure.
That's always good. I try to keep busy. I don't know. I get bored if I don't, so.
I don't remember what it's like to not be busy.
I tried. I took a vacation, but I didn't go anywhere because of COVID.
Right.
So I just started working again. But anyways, I always like to start these out with a fun question or two. So, Ron, do you like rainy days?
Do I like what?
Rainy days.
Oh, yes. And not that it's for a particularly fun reason, but my wife and I garden and are kind of crazy food people. We make everything from scratch. So we have a pretty extensive garden of fruits, vegetables, and herbs. And if it rains, I don't have to water. So, so I'm happy.
I get that.
It's my mom.
Yeah, sorry. My mom is sort of halfway there, but she can't survive off her garden.
Well, we couldn't survive off of it, I guess. Well, a lot of the time we can. I mean, we do. Let's see. This weekend I planted, I think, 72 seeds of corn, and I have 105 potato hills, and I think all but five of them have potatoes growing so far. So, I mean, we plant a lot. We're ridiculous. It's mostly me. I shouldn't blame my wife. I shouldn't drag her down into this. It's mostly me.
So Ron, how long have you wanted to be an author?
Since I was in, high school, I remember for sure. And I wrote things. I wrote an interpretation of the Bible that was supposed to be funny, called The Book of Ron. And every day, this was in the 80s, and I would write it and like longhand, and I would give it to one of my friends, and he would type it up on his Commodore 64 and print it out on his dot matrix printer. And it got passed around the school and people liked it. It was fun. I very much enjoyed that. And it also got me invited to be on the newspaper staff. And I had my own column, and that was fun, too. But I started reading in grade school heavily, and I seemed to remember I wanted to do that for a living, but I wasn't really writing until high school.
So let's talk about your other writings. You have your book, Children of Cathaldi.
Yes.
And your protagonist is an antisocial jerk, so... Sounds kind of like a humorous fantasy book you want to talk about.
Sure. I actually wrote the first draft like 25 years ago, and it was third person. A different character was the main character. It's the same story, but when I got done with it, I didn't love it. I mean, I liked the story. I liked a lot of the characters. I liked a lot of the things that happened. But I just didn't love the book, and I kept trying to rewrite it over, you know, every couple of years I'd get it out and type a couple pages, and it was still third person, and I'd put it away. I didn't love the thing. Then I decided to try writing it in first person with Dirk, who's a secondary character in the first drafts, with him as the narrator, and the style of the book is... It's as if you're sitting at a bar with him and he's just telling you what happened. And one reviewer called him an unreliable narrator. And I really love it because he's building himself up, you know, and he's minimizing sometimes what his friends contribute to the thing. But it's a serious story. I mean, it's epic fantasy, but yeah, when you have a sarcastic kind of a jerk telling the story, I think it's funny. And there are some parts that when I went back and read them later, I actually laughed out loud. Just Dirk. Dirk is funny. I like him.
Oh, good. It's fun if you can get a character voice that you can like.
Yeah, it's definitely not a goofy story. Or, okay. You know, I mean, it's serious epic fantasy, just described humorously, I guess.
Okay. So, kind of like your take on the Bible.
Yes. I am not a serious person, I guess, is the theme.
That's fine. Life is serious enough.
Ugh. Especially lately.
Yeah. Was it hard kind of switching from third person to first person to do that sort of writing style?
No, it was so amazingly easy. I mean, it just felt very right. And, you know, I read a lot of fantasy, a lot of science fiction, and I read a lot of stuff on Kindle Unlimited. And a lot of the fantasy stuff that I read on Kindle Unlimited feels very familiar. I mean, it's not a knock on quality, but there is a sense of sameness about. I'll start reading a series and I'm like, have I read this before? Because there are a lot of similar components, common tropes, and while I still enjoy that, I was very excited, partially because I'm like, well, this is very different. I mean, this is going to stand out. And that has not always been to my benefit. I submitted a story featuring Dirk, the same character, to an anthology, a fantasy anthology, thinking, oh, man, this story is going to be so different. They're going to love it because everything else is going to be so similar. And instead, their reaction was, it's too different. You know, we want similarity in the stories. So, but in other ways, it has helped me in terms of I'm not sure if it was that story, but I got a story done by a Tall Tale TV. They do short stories. They make audiobooks out of short stories to kind of help new authors, you know, with some promotion. And he liked it because it was different. So that was rewarding.
Yeah, I remember I would write short stories and then I'd show them people and they would be like, oh, these are great, but like these aren't to like market. It's not like the same stuff, like, oh, but it's fun stuff. But you know, I don't know. It's my short stories are.
Well, I have a friend who actually got me back into it. A couple of years ago, I saw on his Facebook account that he was going to do NaNoWriMo and the National Novel Writing Month. And the challenge is write 50,000 words in a month. And I saw that and I'm like, oh, I should do that. So I called him up and we talked about it and we decided to, you know, motivate each other. So we started at basically the same time and he is doing very well. He writes to market. He writes to market for Lit RPG. He writes to market for some children's Minecraft books. And they're doing really well. And I do not write to market. And in particular, I think I write niche stuff that, you know, has a limited audience compared to an entire genre, like Lit RPG or children's books.
Yeah.
And so for me, the challenge is trying to find the office or the audience that I think would enjoy my work. And I think that's just a long game. And I'm not going to be as successful immediately. I mean, there's people who really dislike what I do, and then there's people who like it, and there's not a lot of in between. But I want to write what I enjoy writing. If somebody came to me and said, "Well, you could be a millionaire if you just write, you know, romance novels," I wouldn't do that. I don't want to do it. So.
Yeah. Although. That's not really true. Like, if you're really good at it, you can make millions. But there's a lot of people trying to do it, so that's the problem.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just, writing to market is not my approach, I guess, is all I'm getting at. I write what I like and what I think is good, and then I'll work at trying to find that audience. But if that makes it harder, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I avoided putting dragons in my books, and now I'm doing a series with dragons. But I like it. I'm doing my own thing with them. You know, it's going to be interesting. I hope people like it. But yeah, but like, I'm like, okay, well, there's dragons everywhere, so let's try dragons. I like dragons. It's not that I don't like dragons. It's just like I didn't want to do what everyone else did. So I'm like, all right, that's cool. I would love to do dragons. I don't have a problem with them. I love dragons, but I just like, yeah, I wanted to do things that were different. And I was like, okay, maybe I can be a little more to market and still do something I like. We'll see how that goes.
Well, that's a great point. I have 4 books that are going to come out before the end of this calendar year. And that will provide me a lot of data to analyze about what I want to do in the future, I think. There's the 3rd book in the Cathaldi Chronicles will come out, and then I'm going to release an anthology of short stories that take place in the Cathaldi world, some of which are written by me, but most of them are written by other people. Which is really cool to have people write with your characters and setting, and you know, that's really fun. And then I've got a humorous science fiction book that is more about the humor. It's, you know, the Cathaldi books are epic fantasy with a humorous twist or delivery, but this book is more more of a humorous novel. It's called You Get What You Steal. I wrote it with a friend of mine. And then I have a pretend self-help book that you should not follow the advice in, called You're As Stupid As You Are Fat, How to Talk to Women. And it's just straight humor and awful humor as well. But, I want to see what comes of all of that, and that'll kind of... I mean, I don't have a problem going in the direction that's most successful out of what I'm writing. I just, I would rather not conceive a project just because I thought it would be more successful.
Yeah, no, I'm,
We'll see.
Yeah, like I said, I don't have a problem with dragons. I like dragons, and we're going to give it a shot, and we'll see how it goes. Like I said, my publisher likes the first book, so.
Congratulations, that's awesome.
They're excited. Because hopefully, because it's going to be like 10 more or plus books of epic fantasy goodness. So
nice.
Yeah.
So hopefully, well, I will. I am interested in, after the anthology, one of the short stories in the anthology is going to be like a mystery starring the same Dirk character. He's going to be trying to solve a murder, and if that short story is well received, I'd really like to do some more books where he's a detective, so kind of mysteries.
I have also wanted to do that. Like, I've had for years, I wrote my first short story I ever wrote when I got into writing nearly 10 years ago. It's called The Assassin's Remorse. And it's about this assassin, sort of a version of London that's like, you know, but with like some magic elements to it. And then I just thought about he dies at the end of it. And I just thought like, what is the cop that investigates this crime scene going to think and, unravel? Because like this guy's like an upstanding member of the community, but he's also like secretly an assassin. And I'm like, where does that story go? So I'm like, and who is the guy that would be doing this? See, this is how my mind works. I'm always like, exactly. Okay. And so I'm like, yeah, but there's like, fantasy noir detective story? Is that like, I don't know if that's, that might be stretching things too much. I don't know.
Well, I know I love mysteries in historical, like Cadfael or Father Brown, the British mystery shows that take place in the past. And I've even read a few with ancient Rome or ancient Egypt as the setting. And it came about kind of naturally. I mean, at the end of the third book, he's in a position where it would make sense for him to do that, to be called in to solve a murder. And I like the idea of trying to market it to two, you know, or via two genres. Like, you know, I have an email list that's for fantasy, and I'm building a new email list for humor, and then to build an email list for mystery and market some of the things to all those, I find would be interesting. I mean, you know, with the marketing aspect of it, it's like, just try some stuff and see what happens. I mean, the anthology is all about reaching out to the fans of other writers, you know, and trying to leverage that into interest in my world. We'll see.
Well, I hope it works out for you. So let's talk about your writing style. Are you like a plotter or a pantser?
I'm a hybrid. I do write an outline for a book, and then I write several pages of notes of things that I want to have happen in a little more detail, maybe some dialogue even. And that gets added to all the time, you know, take a shower or wash dishes or mow the lawn and something pops into my head and that goes into the notes. But I don't like storyboard it. You know, I have one friend who's an author, and he has 3x5 cards covering a wall, you know. By the time he sits down to write, it's pretty easy because he and his wife write together, and they've basically done everything.
Okay.
So mine, there's a lot to fill in for you know, some chapters there's really a one sentence description, and I, you know, I'm going to put out thousands of words in that chapter. And it is true that every once in a while, something will happen I wasn't expecting at all. It just seems to organically occur out of the chapter, and I go with it most of the time, even if it means going back to edit some things in the earlier parts of the book to make it fit.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. So I kind of do something like that. Well, I do like heavy outlines, but only for a few chapters at a time. Then I write them out, and then I outline again.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, it lets me write some of like the big stuff, or you know, it's usually up to like whatever's the next big turning point in the story, and then I can think about the characters and kind of get them like what they're sort of like, the you know, have the, you know, you have the action and you have the reaction chapters where they, you know, so like I'll outline up the next action, and then I'll write that, and then I can sit there and go like, okay, now let's do the reaction and build up towards the next, you know, action, right? You know.
Yeah.
So you can have that, what is that called? Your plot pacing, your pacing. And so my character, so I can like kind of decompress with my characters, you know, and figure out, you know, what happened, especially if this crazy stuff happened. And also I find like, cause I'm in this current series, I'm putting together like a party of a large number of characters. And so I kind of need to, if I'm not careful, I might forget about one of them.
Yeah,
so definitely. If I'm just writing it, so I need to like try to have outlines and try to remember like, hey, these characters need to do stuff, and you know, and try to, you know, make sure that their arcs is like, there's kind of the main characters, but there's also some supporting characters that you know, I need to make sure that they're doing their things, and especially then a lot of action stuff, like I need to plot out my action scenes before I write them, and like the twists and turns and the beats of them and the reversals and all that stuff.
Well, the nice things about having Dirk telling the story is anything he doesn't say, it could be a choice. You know, it isn't so much that he forgot about that guy as he didn't care about that guy, you know, so he never mentioned him again. And he does, I mean, he is a jerk. So there's one guy, he never bothers to learn his name, you know, and that's with the group for a while. It's almost like an escape hatch. I mean, Dirk just chose to do whatever, which is handy. Although I do keep numerous notes of not only who's in the group at the time, but where they are, you know, positioned in relation to everybody else in the group, so that I try and minimize on, you know, somebody's at the front of the group and then he's all of a sudden at the back of the group.
Yeah, yeah, I totally get that. Cause,
although there was a funny thing that happened. An audiobook company, Spectrum Audio, came and asked, you know, offered to make audiobooks out of the trilogy, and it was a great experience. They found an amazing narrator who just captures the tone of Dirk, which is vital for a successful audiobook of, you know, of Children of the Elder. And they sent the book to an editor to make sure everything was, you know, good before they started paying the narrator to read it. And they called me up. The editor called me up and said, you have your group in a bar. They're in a bar. They're eating dinner or an inn. They're at an inn and they're eating dinner. And then Dirk bends down out of the saddle to do something. And I'm like, what? How is that possible? That is such a gigantic error. How is that possible? But she was right. I did have him doing that. And so I don't know if I was editing and moved something from one place to another, but in the middle of sitting at an inn, he was on his horse again. So it all happened. I mean, it's hard to not miss something.
Yeah. My editor sometimes will be like, she'll just like point out to like something I wrote and then like just leave a comment like, well, what is this? Like, or it's a funny typo or something like that. But I mean, there's some weird stuff that can slip by you in editing. And all I know is I did my own audiobooks and he was live streaming them on his recordings on like Discord. And so I was listening to him actually do the recordings. And then it was my first novel. And I'm just like, my gosh, I need to stop writing. And he nodded his head because that's so redundant. Like, why is that in my book? You know, it's something I wrote like 5 years ago. I'm like, no. And everyone in the chat like, this is really great. You're a great author. I'm like, how could you say that? He nodded his head. That's so redundant. You don't need it. That's like two words I could have cut out. And yes, it's a lot of them. And I kept hearing it.
Well, yes. I because Dirk is telling the story, he doesn't always abide by, and I don't need him to abide by, you know, the best writing principles, you know, and following the style guide. He's telling the story how he's telling it. And that's kind of liberating and fun in a way. It definitely is, because I'm like, screw it. I can do whatever I want. This is just a guy telling a story. And he has fun with that in a few places. I mean, you know, he's aware he's telling the story in this book, and so he comments about it sometimes.
Okay.
There's some fourth wall breaking. Which I have to say makes it a really fun exercise in writing.
That's not fun. Sometimes its rules are annoying. But where can our listeners connect with you on the internet?
Well, the easiest thing is to go to my crappy website, cathaldi.com, cathaldi.com. I need to put in like a bunch of work on it. But it does have links to joining my email lists and it has my email address, which is ronlodellar@gmail. So it's much easier if you find a link to it than have to type it in. My Twitter. And that's about it, really. My Facebook. There's a facebook.com Cathaldi group or page, I should say. And I'm building a reader group. And so, I mean, I'm doing a lot of stuff. It's just the website is the central listing of where everything is.
Okay. Well, it was really great talking with you, Rob.
Oh, thank you very much, James. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
You too.
All right, bye.
All right, bye-bye.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.